Warning, this podcast has stories of real-life events and true crime that happens every day. These stories may contain adult language and graphic or disturbing details not suitable for everyone. Listener discretion is advised. In our society, most people are content to go through their daily lives safely and peacefully. But our society is not always safe or peaceful. For that reason, some men and women answer a higher calling to defend and protect their fellow man. You probably know someone who is one of these people, or maybe you are one of these people. The ones who see and do the things most people would never want to. These things are sometimes heroic and beautiful, but often they are horrific and terrifying. It's these things they don't share about with other people. It's these things they carry with them, so you don't have to. But when they get together, they talk to each other about them. And they call these stories war stories. Welcome back to another episode of War Stories, brought to you by Menstalgia. I'm your host, Fletch Fletcher. And just like I am on the Menstalgia podcast, I'm the retired cop and the king of useless information. The response to this podcast so far has been pretty outstanding. I'm really excited. We've even had people contact us and tell us that they're going into the police academy, and hearing this kind of stuff is really helping them. Today's a little bit different. We're again, it's not just about cops and firefighters. We have a military veteran on, as we've had on our regular podcast many times.
Yes, we do.
And with me, as always, is my co-host Zohan. What's up?
How you doing?
Good. You made me set up an Instagram for this thing.
I did. I made him.
You did. You
I
told
made
me
him set
there
up
has to be an Instagram.
You follow us on Instagram. Our Instagram name is war_stories_official. So war stories official. Put two underscores in there, and I'm sure it'll pop up.
I think you can even type it in without underscores.
Yeah, but you know, for the people that are like super OCD about that stuff, get the underscores in there. But anyways, it'll pop up.
If you're OCD, does it piss you off that the letters aren't in the right order?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You like CDO.
You could also follow us on Facebook. We're on Facebook. Look up War Stories.
Yeah. If you're under 40, you can follow us on Instagram. And if you're over 40, you can follow us on Facebook.
Exactly. We're getting a lot of good feedback on the Instagram page also, and on the Facebook page as well. Feel free to hit us up anytime you'd like. If you have any questions
on stories, anything. Stories. If you want to just tell us a quick story
absolutely.
And have us read it, we will absolutely read it.
Absolutely.
If you want to tell us your story and say, hey, can I come on? We can set up a Skype with you. We don't have to. If you're in the area, we can meet you face to face. But if you're not, then we can certainly set up a Skype call and have you on the show that way.
So. And our response time will be quick. I promise.
Yeah.
We don't let you sit.
No,
we don't let you sit.
We don't have to linger.
Right. So. Also, we got my dad on the show again.
Yeah. Welcome back, Salty.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
That's right. And let me tell you what an episode you did have, and the response to it, I'm sure, This is amazing. But
we'll see.
And of course, you are running still ProjectSalty.com, which is
ProjectSalty.com online fitness programming. Goes to your phone every night, tells you what to do the next day in the gym. Yeah. Pretty inexpensive, pretty easy, pretty simple.
If you're into paying $20 a month for an app that will teach you how to torture yourself,
that's pretty much it.
In the proper way.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty much.
Yeah. That's pretty much
so.
It.
Yeah. Now, with that app. So it explains how you do everything. If for somebody like me, I don't know shit about working out. And I hurt myself on a regular basis. How do you?
It has a little bit of a briefing as to what you're going to be doing. It tells you how to go through everything. And at the bottom of the day that you would get, there's a video library. So if there's something you don't understand, you could just shoot down to whatever that is. There'll be a video of it. I also get messages.
And who's in the
on
video?
Instagram. It depends.
Is it you?
No.
No, it's no, never
no.
you?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
No.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It should be.
It's not me.
It should.
You know how many videos I'd have to make? That's insane.
A lot?
A whole ton.
A lot. Well, you're working out all the time anyway, so.
Well, yeah, that's true.
And then you'd get subscribers that just want to watch you work out. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a whole other story. We won't even discuss that right now. She's laughing back there. Yeah, looking, yeah right?
Because there is that's groupies. Right. There are groupies.
There's cop groupies. Workout groupies.
There's weird shit going on.
So you've got like double groupies.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, I,
again, Salty, ProjectSalty.com. Check it out. And thanks for coming by today.
Anytime.
Well, actually,
I didn't go
coming
far.
By, you didn't go far. We're in your house.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
Surprise!
Clearly.
But today, you brought, Zohan, you brought in...
a very close family friend of mine. How long have we known each other?
A long time.
A long, long
since,
time.
Since...
20 years?
About that, I'd say.
Yeah.
Long coming
time.
Up on that.
So your friendship's almost old enough to drink.
Almost. Yeah.
That's a milestone.
Yeah. Went from playing airsoft to actually shooting real bullets. It was pretty cool.
Together?
No.
Have you served together?
Not together.
No. Yeah, but you were still actually trying to kill the neighbors, even though it was an airsoft gun.
Oh, that did happen.
I thought we were...
They came at me with a legit hockey stick. All I had was an airsoft gun. What was I supposed to do?
And had his first use of force at like...
10.
16 years old.
Well, so what did you guys... How did you end up... let's have a childhood war story. How did you shoot the neighbor kid with an airsoft gun?
So I guess long story short, and correct me if I'm wrong, I remember we were playing airsoft and the neighbor kids wanted to play airsoft. Yeah. So we got together, like, okay, these are our teams. And...
which was a huge mistake because at that age we were learning to like pie corners and like crazy and stuff like
Wait,
that.
Like Call of Duty or like in real life.
No, like real, like we'd clear something and we'd like pie corners. We'd like pick up our sectors as we came into the room. Like,
and you're how old?
We were what? 16, 17.
Yeah.
15.
Now, were you doing this
a little younger? Little
were you doing
younger,
this deliberately? 15,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah. When we would like play quote unquote, that was like training time. That was go time. Whether it was paintball, airsoft.
Yeah.
I mean, it
translated later on in life for us anyway. Right, so, but what kid on the other team took someone hostage? That's how it started.
I remember you took your mom hostage.
What?
I remember we got into a full out war in the house and you shot your mom in the neck with an airsoft gun from like point blank. She was so
mad. What? I remember
then,
that.
Oh, you're right. I did do that.
And then we got scared because she got furious. We ran outside. She found John's paintball gun in the closet.
Oh, no.
And we were hunkered down behind this weird, like, horse head post, like, statue thing that was at the driveway.
Uh-huh.
And I swear she almost took our eyes out, man. Like, she was dead on. She would, like, smack the post right there, and we got, you know, paintball shrapnel all over
That's
us.
That's true.
Crazy.
Jeez. That is true.
It would get intense.
Real quick, just to bring it back to that airsoft, one of the neighbor kids had taken... one of someone, I thought it
Wait,
was
no,
you.
No, he took his brother hostage, which is why we were like, okay.
Oh, yeah, we're going to let this happen.
Yeah.
So either way, all we did was we basically told him to let his little brother go. He didn't let his little brother go. And so I took a crack at him from about 10 feet away and hit him right in the forehead.
No, he had a Jason mask on.
No, that was later. He came out of the house with a Jason mask on.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, so.
So he put on a hockey mask after the fact to protect himself?
Correct. Yeah. So I save the day on the hostage situation. He runs in his house crying. He comes out with a hockey mask and a hockey stick ready to just whoop ass. And I was like, I'm not going to let this happen. So I took another headshot at him. And you know, in the hockey mask, they've got the little holes around the mouth.
Yeah, those.
Well, I nailed it.
I thought we were going to be in so much trouble.
I thought for sure we were going to be in a lot of trouble. And at that point, we pretty much just ran and we let that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what else are you going to do? You shoot your buddy in the mouth. Well, he was wearing protection. You couldn't control that it was going to go through the little hole.
Yeah. Now, we called these kids the children of the corn. They were fucking weird. They were fucking weird.
They were weird. I think both of the neighbors over there were pretty interesting people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, anyways. I mean,
talk about hockey mask. Do you remember Halloween and hockey mask?
Anyways, we have.
They don't want to talk about that one.
So we have my good.
Well, you know the rule. If you can't tell the story,
I'd like to hear it from his perspective. Since we're going down.
No, I want to hear it from your perspective first, and then have him.
Well, I was there, and then everyone was gone. That's all I can tell you. But
he scared us. And I was the only one smart enough to grab a phone and lock myself in a room.
Wait,
just saying, while everyone else is dying.
I was outside
peeking
in the window with a Jason mask.
How old are you?
And apparently everything went to shit on the inside.
How old are you?
13, 14.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's when you started training yourself
to be
a warrior.
I will be ready. Yeah. I will be ready
to hide behind the
I'm
toilet.
I'm never hiding from Jason again, man. I'm going to become an operator.
That's funny. I do remember that.
Anyway,
go on. So you spent time in the service, Army. Tell us about how that came about and what you did.
So I joined the Army in 2008 as a combat medic, although it wasn't combat medic at that time. Now it is. They get the cool title. When I joined, I was a healthcare specialist.
Really?
Yeah, that was 68 Whiskeys. The actual description was healthcare specialist, because you got a 50-50 chance of either getting stuck in a hospital for your whole life, which would have been horrible, or you get sent to a line unit, and then from there you can have any combination of the both. So some people get cool assignments in a hospital once they've been in for a while.
That's some rope-a-dope shit on the part of the recruiter.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's they describe to you like all of the the training and education that you'll get there, and how it's applicable to the real world, and it ends.
Sure.
I mean, it is, if you want to be an EMT basic on the back of a truck and run oxygen on people. Well, luckily, I don't want to do that job anyway.
Right.
But
no. I mean, nothing against the people that want to do it.
Yeah,
it's a great job, and it's totally necessary.
I'm a realist, man, and that stuff.
You know your strengths and weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that type of an op tempo all the time that our healthcare providers usually, keep up with day to day.
Yeah, because healthcare specialist sounds like you're wiping asses at a nursing home.
You could be, depending on
where, depending
on where you go. But now they've wisened up, because they were getting people for the other reason too. They're like, I thought I was going to be doing X-rays and shit, and they're like on the back of a Striker in the middle of Iraq.
They didn't sign up.
They're like, oh fuck, I just got shot at. That's, nobody told me.
You can't say fuck.
That was going to happen. Wait, you told me.
No, you can. It was just, you said it for the first time, so.
I feel like Ricky Bobby. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Do whatever you want with them.
So I joined in 2008, and then I was assigned to 558th Military Police Company in Hawaii. So that was a pretty cool duty station. It's on the island of Oahu.
Okay.
I didn't get to see much of it because it was pretty much like train up and go at that point.
Oh,
we were training up for our deployment to Iraq. So we trained up. We got there in 2009. Our first FOB that we went to was Camp Taji, which is just outside of Baghdad.
Okay. Now, where in the war are you? Is it at this point?
We're just pull out from Iraq.
Okay.
So things are pretty calm in most areas for the most part.
Okay.
It wasn't. As crazy as it was during the invasion or anything like that. There was small stuff, IEDs, vehicle borne or on the road.
So still fighting insurgents, but
it was small pockets. And a lot of it was actually handled by a lot of special forces and a lot of operators that were out there too. They were, at that point, they were taking specific targets and trying to find specific things. But we bounced all over Iraq. Maybe 2 months, 3 months into being at Taji, which is actually a pretty nice FOB, as it were.
Like, and FOB is?
Forward Operating Base.
Okay, I'm going to do that. I know.
And that was actually pretty nice. It was pretty close to the green zone. Not a whole lot going on there.
Now, what is a green zone?
Okay, so I don't know that I was ever in the green zone. Maybe Balad. I think like Balad Air Base would be considered the green zone. So this is the heavily established area that our coalition forces set up in and around Baghdad.
Okay,
which we operated the most out of. So,
it's the safest of areas, or is it the most heavily guarded?
I would say both. Yeah, it's the safest and the most heavily guarded.
Okay. What are the other zones?
So, and then you have, forward operating bases as you kind of branch out from that, get shittier and shittier for the most part.
Okay.
It's like leaving downtown LA and going south.
Exactly.
Very specific reference, but I completely agree.
Yeah, totally.
It's as the blocks get shittier, it's shittier.
Totally. And then you think you pick up like the culture out there, and then you go, 15 miles in another direction, and you realize that it's completely different. Yeah, I saw some things out there that just didn't even make sense to me. I still don't try to understand them.
Like when they
just
play the horseback polo goat game.
That
one,
or other games with goats, like certain stuff. I remember clearly, like one of my best memories of Iraq, one of the funniest was we roll into Ramadi and there's Iraqi army on the outside of the gate, and I shit you not, there was like three of them on a child-sized cot.
What?
And they were fully engaged in a spoon session like in the open, and I was like, what is going on here?
Are they sleeping?
Yeah, they were sleeping.
Just three
Nut to butt.
Just. Yeah. Yep. Big spoon. Bigger spoon. Bigger spoon.
Like in the drawer. Just like all of them lined
up. Neatly stacked in there. And I was like, oh, man, I don't know. No,
I must be here now.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on here.
Bro, no. I was middle spoon last time. Yeah. It'll be front spoon this time.
So a couple months in, we get assigned to 82nd Airborne because we were a smaller unit. We were a military police unit, so normally they attach them somewhere.
What does that duties entail for a military police unit at a FOB?
Okay, so the mission at the time when we were over there was mostly like peacekeeping and area security,
okay,
which is like perfect, I guess, for the MPs and what they do. MPs are more heavily... armed than other units.
Oh, like, really?
So, for instance, on 4 gun trucks, we'll have 250 cals, a Mark 19, so 250 caliber machine guns, right. A Mark 19, which is an automatic grenade launcher.
Yeah, those things are badass.
And a 240 Bravo, or a 240 Bravo mounted.
Okay.
Which is like the 7.62 version of a cruiser weapon.
Okay.
The drivers in the trucks all had a squad automatic weapon, which is the 5.56 version of a crew-operated machine gun.
Is that what they call it, a SAW?
A SAW, okay. Yeah. Squad automatic okay. weapon. And then you had your driver who had, and this is going to lead into the next thing, but the drivers, the truck commanders, who are usually an NCO in the truck,
okay,
non-commissioned officer, they had an M203 on their M4 along with an ACOG. Site. So
you guys we're loaded for bear.
People really make fun of MP units, military police units.
Really? Why?
Because they call them like mud puppies and narcs. I mean, the same stuff that you get. Like, okay. Infantry doesn't like it because they come break up their orgies or whatever they have going on. So you guys won't roll.
You guys have to roll deep into our barracks.
Yeah. And you guys are like, well, I didn't know you couldn't snort coke off a hooker's butt. Where is that written? Where is that in the regulation? No. So they get made fun of a lot. But
the rat squad.
Yeah, and they're also they're male and female, both serve in military police okay. units. So like some of my NCOs were also females, and they're crazy warrior shield maiden women that you don't want to mess with, and
like the fucking Viking bitches that are first ones off the boat, just hacking people to death.
I swear,
if I could rape you, I would.
Yeah. Gung ho, you're like you're a buck 35, and you're
changing your pockets,
and you're gonna try to hip shoot the squad automatic weapon right now, man. They made it work. You know what I mean? Like,
good
I can't.
For them. Happy International Women's Day. Wait, that was a couple weeks ago.
That was yesterday. Oh, really?
By the time this episode comes out, it will be a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Good point.
Belated.
Yeah.
So needless to say, our SI, which is your sensitive items list, is huge. Between your night vision and all of your PEC-14s and...
Basically anything you don't want the enemy to have.
Yeah, anything you don't want the enemy to have. And we have a lot of that. So those were always big issues. So the reports and layouts that we had to do for the stuff, they were like constant. They wanted to make sure that you had everything. They weren't missing anything. So okay. if you were to like say, I don't know, lose a weapon in sector in the middle of a combat zone, that might be a pretty big deal, which is what this story is about. Okay. So then
tell us your story.
Okay. So I want to build this for everybody. Like I just want to like our picture of things coming in.
Okay.
So we get to Al Asad Air Base, which is northwest Iraq or west Iraq, kind of close to the Syria border. Most recently was in the news. Baghdadi was an ISIS stronghold. That was in our AO.
Was it a shit show then?
On and off. There was like weird stuff happening. Like they'd like find bodies in the river, in the Tigris River, which is right there, you know, small like pop shots over the base, people trying to launch rockets over the over
what
the
kind
walls.
Of bodies were they just random just, citizens or
yeah man the most horrible stuff I saw like legit wasn't stuff that we had done to other people, it was the stuff that they did to each other.
Okay. So you mean like normal shit?
Yeah, like normal shit. Yeah,
yeah,
like,
they're fighting a 5th century war and they're still using 5th
century
tactics.
I mean, yeah,
see all that.
Yeah, that's you know, when you talk about the nasty stuff over there, like it was just how they were treating each other. Yeah. Pretty much
like
and then,
World War II Japanese type stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so we get to Al Asad Air Base, and this is kind of a joint base. So you have some Air Force there, you have some Navy SEALs there, although, like, I don't know if they actually were Navy SEALs. They didn't walk around with a sign on the side of their truck like Navy SEALs. But,
right.
But from what I could gather, with they were doing some sort of special operations out there. So
they were some sort of special op unit.
Something. And it was a hodgepodge of everything, man. There were Navy people there, and they have, like, I didn't know the Navy rank structure then. I still don't really know it, but you'd be, like, saluting people that are, like, an E3 equivalent because it's just, like, a bird on their chest. And you're like, oh, I'm going to salute that.
It looks like a colonel.
Yeah. You know, I'd rather be wrong and look stupid to, like, you know, an E3 than colonel. Not salute a colonel.
Right.
So we're out there doing our thing, and we're attached to 82nd Airborne. I'm not going to say which unit specifically, but I will tell you that they're an artillery unit.
Okay.
And artillery units are a special kind of people.
How so?
They're pretty wild.
Really?
For the most part, yeah.
Is it a societal, like, institutional thing where artillery guys just learn to be that way, or guys that go into artillery have that personality?
I don't know. Like, I'm not gonna, like, hate on 82nd Airborne, but I'll say that, like, the guys that we were under were fucking douchebags. in like every, like, if you can picture the perfect douchebag, that was 90% of their in ranks there. And they were big on their, you know, on their history with 82nd Airborne and everything. So we were kind of like this ugly stepchild in the air. Like, oh, this.
Okay. So it was more that we're the 82nd Airborne and you're not.
And you're a yucky military police unit. And
I get that. I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. You know, you're.
Well, when you come from and I'm not trying to take this away from you at all. Coming from the 101st Airborne, you know, there's so much history behind that, behind that in itself. And it's same with the 82nd Airborne, going back to freaking World War One, or probably even before, whenever the, I don't even know they're conceived.
World War One, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. So when you go into a country and you're like the elite of elite of the divisions, yeah, or like whatever you want to say, like everybody knows who you are by your patch, right?
Screaming Eagles.
And then you see, Screaming Eagles.
Or Alcoholics Anonymous.
Or that too. That's true. And then you see a patch that you've never seen before. You're like, who the fuck are you? What the fuck?
Right.
And then I think that's where that reputation comes from. So I get what you're saying. I totally do.
Yeah, there's definitely like, you know, they got the hometown love going on over there. Okay. They're a huge unit, and they're good guys. You know,
well, no, I mean, that's the thing. For the listeners to understand, there's a lot of infighting amongst police and firefighters. They're not on the same team. That's a very common misconception. When it push comes to shove, the cops will protect the firefighters, and firefighters will protect the cops. They're not on the same team. Marines, Army, Navy. You guys all give each other shit. Now, if anybody else tries to give you guys shit, stand by to stand by.
Oh, yeah. Like, sure. Nobody picks on my little brother but me.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So if when you hear the guys on this show talking trash about the FBI, or talking trash about the fire department, or talking trash about the 82nd Airborne, it's out of love, and we can do it. But
yeah.
You can't use that word. Only we can use that word.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
So we're out there doing that. We get stuck on basically an outside perimeter patrol. And it was mostly trying to find, you know, rockets and the old MiGs that we burned down when we invaded. And they'd come through and set up, you know, rocket tubes or mortar tubes in the downed vehicles out there outside of the FOB. So that was all stuff that we were basically checking. And then...
Is this intel based? Like, you guys have intel of something going on in this area, so you go to, or is this like random checks of certain areas?
I think if there was better communication between the units, it might have been intel based, but it was mostly it was getting a feel for the locals, asking the locals what was going on. You know, have you seen any other, you know, activity out here? A lot of it was oil smuggling that was big out there. But the terrain out there is treacherous. So there are spots where you can be out in the middle of the desert and see flat horizon on all sides of you, and there's no sign of anything man-made. You are in the middle of the goddamn desert out there. And then there's other areas where it's these huge gorge wadis, basically, that you know, that run into these, you know, ancient riverbeds.
What's a wadi?
So a wadi, I think, so our understanding of it was a little different because we were in Iraq. I know in Afghanistan that's a thing. It's basically a huge valley culvert, like,
okay,
gorge type of area.
Okay.
And there were a lot of those. So, and you'd be traveling across flat desert, and now you're dropping 3 feet into a riverbed or something like that. Like, you can't see the stuff coming.
Oh, okay.
So people in the past have been known to kind of, like, lose things out there, like ammo can here and there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, little shit.
Yeah, like the box of MREs off the back. You know what I mean? Like, ruin your day, but not your life.
Right.
Well, we're out there. So let me back up a little bit. We're out there on a special detail, and the special detail is to help to cordon off an area in this desert to help the 82nd Airborne jump into combat, quote unquote, so that they could earn the special awards that go with that jump into a combat zone. It's like I'm a dirty, nasty leg, so I don't know all the airborne lingo, but it's an extra addition to their, you know, to the ribbon rack.
So you're setting up a perimeter to allow them a safe space to
jump into.
Just to get a ribbon.
Okay, hold on.
Insane. Insane.
So this was supposed to be... Wow. This was supposed to be like a 6-hour ordeal. Like, we go out there, clear the area, set up a cordon.
Wait. Clear the area of what?
Of anything that might be in the area. Yeah. I wish we would have.
Can you guys sweep a little bit? Because our boots are just freshly polished.
I think their limit to jump is like 13 knots. Mm-hmm. I don't know what a knot is, but I'll tell you what. The wind was blowing like 60 fucking 5 miles an hour out there when they jumped.
Yeah, so that's not on the ground. That's a lot more than 13 knots.
On the ground. So a 6-hour ordeal turned into like a fucking 13-hour ordeal because dudes were coming in pendulum, like a pendulum, and like on the shitty side of the pendulum swing. So they're at the peak of their arc into the air, and the chute's hitting the ground before they are.
Oh. Holy shit.
They're getting knocked unconscious, and we watched, I watched a guy chase another guy getting drugged by his chute on his face across the horizon. And he had the dust trail going behind him and everything. And we were like,
they deserved their ribbons.
They earned it.
They earned them. One of the guys ran into one of our Humvees. I guess he smashed into a Humvee on the way. They were getting blown every. It was a mess. It was like a mass cow out there for their jump.
Dude, people, you got assholes sitting there watching, getting ready to open up, and they're like, "Nah, fuck it. They'll take care of themselves."
Yeah, they're like, "Why? Why are we even out here?"
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Okay.
So.
Well, it was a good thing they had a combat medic.
So we're out there. They had their own medics that wanted to handle it. I was like, go for it, guys. Oh, yeah. You can deal with your LT that's got his eyeball hanging out of the socket.
Wait, that actually happened?
True story, yeah. He came down on the butt of his rifle, and it shattered his orbital bone really bad. And his eyeball actually fell out of his head. You could actually see the optic nerve in the back that was holding it on.
Oh.
And they, I don't know, this is like secondhand, like barracks, like myths or whatever, but apparently he could see what was going on as his eyeball was kind of spinning, which must have been extremely disorienting.
I have a headache.
Camera one, camera two.
That's exactly what it is.
Camera two.
So the reason I'm, you know, telling you guys about this is because we were out there for way longer than we should have been. And what ended up happening was we ended up butting up a patrol on a patrol, which is no excuse for what actually happened. But
what does that mean?
The reason for patrol. So we went out, cleared, and then by the time we were done there, it was time for us to go out on patrol again. On our regularly scheduled patrol to do like the area security out there. So everybody in that convoy was super tired, and we had another one going out too. I tried to go out with every squad, but there were times when one would go out and I had to pick like who has the worst risk assessment and just go with them because I didn't want to not be present if something happened.
Right.
So on that day, I ended up picking one instead of the other. The convoy that went without me did their patrols and everything. And we all come back and they're doing the SI check. And they can't find...
What's an SI check?
Sensitive item check.
So okay, this is when... The thing you were saying about not wanting shit to fall into enemy hands.
Enemy hands.
That when they come back, they do an inventory.
Yeah.
And we used to call it friends and guns.
Yep.
You just go through the house and make sure you're not leaving any friends or guns behind.
Yep. Okay. So we have everything laid out in a pile in our little company area. Right. And we're going down, the serial number by serial number, and they're reading it. And I'm gonna call him Sergeant Sea Dog.
Okay.
We'll say Coop Dog. Sorry, Coop Dog. Okay. All right. Let me preface everything that I'm about to say. Hold on. Let's disclaimer. Let me preface everything that I'm about to say by saying that I don't dislike anybody in this story. I love Coop Dog to death. He's gonna know exactly who he is if he hears this.
Okay.
I love them all very much. This was like a funny experience, I guess, kind of now. It was not funny when it happened, but it's kind of funny now.
Yeah, we've noticed that about our stories is we're laughing very hard at them now, even if they're terrible, but it's kind of, we're laughing now, but we weren't laughing then.
So Coop Dog had it, and he was an E5 at the time. He was a sergeant. The two interactions that I had with him was one lancing a huge boil he had on his back at Camp Taji when we were there.
Okay.
And then he like crushed his finger in one of the upper armored vehicle doors because they're hydraulic doors. So you had the Caymans, the MRAPs, and RG-33s were the name of the big up armored trucks, the new version of the up armored trucks that were meant to take IED blasts. And he like crushed his finger in there, like the slowest speed accident ever. Cause they, like, if you're getting shot at and have to shut that fucking thing, like, yeah, you better just get all the way in the truck and then kind of like poke the button with your.
It's like Deadpool running like, over the guy with the Zamboni. I'm going to kill you in 5 minutes.
That thing is like,
yeah, when you were there, was it a little red button? Because ours were the little red buttons on the AMRAPs that you push, and then you just wait 10 seconds.
It was worse. It was like it was like a big red button. So like he had to like mean what he was doing. You know what I mean? Like he like was very aware that it was there and crushed his finger. Actually, degloved his finger.
Oh,
now how do you if it's that slow moving? How do you not get your finger out of the way?
He was talking. He was talking shit to one of his privates. Oh. And wasn't fucking paying attention.
Got him.
And had his finger in there. So then the private that he was just talking shit to had to, who was a female, by the way, and she was like this little short thing. She's like, I could tell she's looking at him like, motherfucker,
you're going to sit here for a second.
Yeah.
Now you need some help.
Now you need me. Yeah. So then he had to like,
let me see if I can figure out how to get this thing back open. Oh gee.
Yeah.
I'm all thumbs right now. thumbs.
So then we had to like reverse it too, which takes just as long. He's in there like screaming.
and then
lost it and took off running with his like finger meat hanging off. You could see the bone. Cause he was like trying to run away from the pain. and so I had to like catch up to him and like grab it, like put manual pressure on him. Yeah. I'm like, where the fuck are you running to? Like, I'm right here, bitch. I'm who you need. So that's
run to me.
That's the history with Coop Dog. So Coop Dog lost his fucking M4 with ACOG and a 203 launcher in sector. And didn't tell anybody.
Oh, I was waiting for it.
Oh. Wait, so as you're going through the SI check, you get to the part where you read off the number for his gun.
First of all,
it's like Bueller.
First of all, yeah, our first sergeant and commander for 550 of the military police, if they hear that, I'll tell you what. You know, like kids feel bad like when they do things to their parents.
Right.
Those poor guys, man, must have like years missing off their life. We were like misfits in this unit. There was always some bullshit going down that somebody always constantly.
You guys were like the bad news bears.
Yeah. So we're doing the SI check and we're like, we're missing a fucking rifle. Right?
And did you know whose rifle it was?
Instantly.
At the time?
Yeah.
You knew.
Okay. Instantly we knew.
So you knew it wasn't yours. You knew you weren't missing anything.
Yeah, no,
you knew he was missing something. How much shit is the whole unit in versus one guy?
Man, it's mass punishment. Like whenever you lose an SI thing, even though it's not really like mass punishment, it's fucking mass punishment because every swinging dick is going to be looking for whatever you lost in that area.
Right.
So I'm looking at his face, right? Because we're both in the same room doing weapons cleaning, getting ready to turn everything in. And I'm like,
so what is he cleaning?
He was standing there.
Is it like, yeah,
bro, he was standing. And there was some other stuff that went on with that I don't necessarily want to say. I'm pretty sure that like the squad was aware of what was going on.
Oh, okay.
But was trying to like dig himself out and maybe wait to go back into sector to the same AO and see if it's
maybe it's there.
But here's the rule of anytime you're deployed somewhere in like an enemy area, just assume you're always being watched.
Right.
Because that's usually, I mean, nowadays, especially like as a police officer, you're always on film. Sure, it doesn't matter where you are. And if it looks bad, it's definitely going to be on film.
Right.
You know what I mean?
From the worst possible
angle. They're going to get the angle of you. Yeah. So, but there were guys out there watching us with NVGs. I'm sure they have the same stuff we do. And they're watching our operations and they want to know what we're up
to.
You're
talking about like Hajis.
Yeah. Yeah. Or even the local villagers that are going to talk to somebody else. They're watching you.
Bro, they lost machine gun right over there.
So, yeah. Straight up.
Well, so, and if they find it, it's going to be worth a lot of money to them.
Oh, yeah.
So what reason would they have for, you know, helping you out?
And none. I mean, they're actually probably just as likely to blow themselves up with a grenade launcher as blow one of us up, but that's cool. So anyway, so he loses this weapon, and the shit hits the fan, guys. The shit hits the fan.
So the
commander and the first sergeant come down, and they're, I mean, screaming at a level that you know what I mean? When you hear somebody yelling behind closed doors and you can just hear like the emotion in the voice, it's not even emotionless at this point. They're actually mad at you.
Right.
Yeah. They were like, you're an evil base. And that was, and it was true. It was like, what were you doing? What happened? How did you lose? Not only like a baseline M4 rifle with iron sights, like an equipped fucking rifle. And now the enemy can use against us. If, you know, hopefully they didn't find it. I don't know.
The optics alone, $1,200.
Yeah. Easy.
Or more
for an ACOG. Yeah.
That's 5 guns.
Five goats. Does it have red dot? Because red dot is ten goats.
There
you go. Self-illuminating.
Sorry.
Self-illuminating. Bro, 11 goats.
11. Come on, bro. Help me out. Give me a good guy deal.
Bro, you don't know what you want. Good guy deal. It's only guts.
So basically, this has to go up to 82nd now. And 82nd already doesn't like us.
Wait, why them?
Because they are who we are underneath.
They're your daddies.
And right. They're, yeah, okay. They're,
so you're attached to them.
Okay. So you report to and are responsible to the 82nd Board at this point, even though they don't like you.
And damn if their sergeant major wasn't a Samuel L. Jackson lookalike. And sound alike. Spitting image. It was actually, they'd get mad because we'd start laughing in formation, but he just like reminded us so much of Samuel L. Jackson. Like, you motherfuckers! Like yelling at us and stuff in formation. It was just hilarious, you know. But... So that
he probably cultivated that image in knowing it.
100%.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, probably.
You don't end up looking and sounding like Samuel L. Jackson in the military.
If you're close, you might as well go for it.
I remember his famous thing he would tell us, put your goddamn eye pros and your glow strap on. The glow strap was the PT belt that you had to wear everywhere.
Glow strap?
Yeah, for safety.
No.
So everybody could see
you. In a combat zone. Exactly. So everybody can see you.
Sounds good. Yeah.
They give you actually when you look at it through your mil dots, it's a perfect you know measurement for somebody for the human torso.
center mass.
That's where they get you
from
quick.
The top of this line to the bottom of this line is where the chest cavity is.
Yeah, don't hit me in the stomach or something retarded like that. Just kidding. So they find out. They hold this huge formation and basically call our unit out in front of the whole battalion. Right.
Okay.
How big is that?
This is all of their
like number wise.
How big is a battalion?
Oh,
just approximate number, just so the listeners kind of get an idea of this.
It depends on the battalion, 1,000, 2,000.
How
people.
Many in this instance?
In this, probably about 1,500.
Yeah, that's a lot of fucking people.
Yeah,
so 1,500 people
are about
assembled
to,
together.
Yeah, I was
about
like,
to get fucking yelled at for some shit five guys did.
Bro, it was like the Scarlet Letter. our unit patch after that was like the Scarlet Letter for real. Like you go in the DFAC and they're like eek.
Wait,
you know, stay away from us.
I'm curious, at what point did he realize it was missing? The SI check?
Yeah, the SI check.
Where was it? I mean,
okay, so
how do you miss it up until that point?
So,
where is it
so
secured?
The story that I got leading up to that was how it happened was
okay.
He was relieving his driver, which is a good NCO thing to do because the driver was tired from the mission earlier that day. When he did that, in the driver's seat is the squad automatic weapon, so that weapon stays up there in the driver, in the center right there for the most part. So they just didn't switch weapons. So all they did was just switch seats, and so he's got the saw there. Private's got the M4 in the back.
Okay. Right?
Or in the TC seat.
Okay.
This is the story that they got because I wasn't there, but apparently at some point the door popped open on our shitty ass Humvees and like tumbled out into the night somewhere. That's the story we got.
But did they know that when it happened?
No.
So they, at some point the door popped open. They shut the door. When they get back is when they realize.
And our AO was the size of how many square miles Santa Clarita? Maybe like 15, 20, no, 30 square miles maybe.
It's pretty big.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
That was like our AO, man. We had a big AO because a lot of it was just nothing. It was just empty desert.
So it could be anywhere.
Right. Anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah.
And we were all over it. So they tried to go back to the points that they were at, where they set up their observation points, and they just never found. Somebody probably saw them come through. And what they'll do is they'll trail you from spot to spot. We'd have huge ammo burns, huge pits, thousands of pounds of munitions and ammo and stuff, and they just burn it to get rid of it before they leave, excuse me. And they would rush out while the ammo was still burning. You still have like flares going off. You still have stuff going on. And they're running into the burn pit to collect the brass to go.
Oh, shit.
And it's like kids, too. They're like, get in there, Billy. and you hear like, pew, pew, like primers. Primers popping off and stuff. And then, man, they're in there with a shovel rolling their pant legs up.
Oh, jeez, yeah. Louise.
So basically, 82nd and like us already, they put us on this crazy, ridiculous schedule. I'm not shitting. It was like 20-hour days for... month and a half.
Oh, really?
And that was when we got back off the mission. We'd have like 3 minutes, like an hour to eat, like another 3 hours to get as whatever rest you could. Don't even bother fucking changing out of your uniform. Just sleep, get back up and do it again. Go out there and search. And we called it Operation Hands Across Iraq. and we were just searching for this weapon. And they, like, you know, they're shunning poor Coop Dog, and he's not allowed to go with them to look for it. You know what I mean?
It's like, why?
Yeah, well,
What was he restricted to?
Yeah, they're like, fuck you. Everybody's going to, you know, suffer and look for this thing, and you're going to fucking watch them, which is like the shittiest thing.
Yeah.
They could have done, but they needed to make their point.
Right.
Yeah. That's a big.
No, it's not like he lost his.
He didn't lose his cam lights.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He lost a fucking weapon in Sector, and I don't. I don't know. Like
it is, in the vernacular, a no-no.
Yeah, it's a big no-no.
Big no-no. Yeah, weapon, arms distance, all time.
Right, exactly. Right?
So we start kicking off these crazy op tempo. We're still trying to get patrols in during the day. We're like mixing searching with kind of doing like our mission in that area. So we'd be close to the AO that we're supposed to be in, but we're actually like searching low key for this weapon to come up. And it started taking its toll on the guys. It started taking its toll hard on me too. By like day 15, my lymph nodes were swollen under my arms, my neck, my groin. Like my immune system was just like,
we're done.
You're breathing in all this shit dust every day, and you want me to keep doing this for 20 hours a day? Like, no. So everybody's feeling it, and people are starting to make stupid mistakes. People are starting to fall off trucks, drop weapons, get their fingers caught in 50 cal bolts as they slam it home, and cleaning. Stuff like that. Yeah. We had a guy. So for anybody
tired.
So for anybody that's never seen a 50 caliber machine gun, break this down. Like, they're big hunks of metal. They weigh about 80 pounds or so, and the bolt is basically it's an out of battery firing system, which means that it's not like a typical gun where it fires and cycles the bolt back. The bolt starts from the open position, smashes into the round, and then the gases inside drive that bolt back to recycle.
Right.
There's a butterfly switch. It's not a trigger. So as he was cleaning the inside of it, he leaned against it. His stomach hit the butterfly switch because he wasn't paying attention, and it took off, guillotined the top of his index finger.
So he released the bolt with his stomach. And his finger was in the way.
Explain how big that bolt is.
That bolt probably weighs 2.5-3 pounds. Solid, solid like spring steel.
Right, and it's spring loaded.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's spring. Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah,
it's not like it was gravity that was propelling this thing forward.
Oh. It was not funny, but on a funny note, he was from Jamaica, and he did the same run away from the pain thing. but except when he was running away, he was like, my fucking trigger finger, man. What the fuck am I doing? My trigger finger, man. Fuck. So it was hilarious. It was good. It was bad, but it was good. So we pick up this crazy op tempo, and guys,
what's like the
operational tempo. Right. So just how often you're going out, how often you're, because normally you'll pick up like a schedule. You know, on certain days it's going to be patrol time, or if you get really fucked like John did, every day is a patrol day. Mm-hmm. So and you pick up that it's just your schedule basically. So we're hitting this hard. People are starting to lose it. Like, I'm switching out with gunners, and I'm a medic, which is like against Geneva Conventions. I don't know if anybody. But like, I'm switched just to relieve
them. I've never been to Geneva, so it's fine.
No, I was going to call. Just to switch these guys out, man, because they were tired, and the medics, typically we sat on our ass in the back of the truck and watched things, monitor the net, make sure that we're situationally aware of what's going on, because that's what's important. If we need to get to another truck or we need to figure out where fire's coming from, that's what's important to us, not necessarily the in goings on in the vehicle. So we're switching, and like, matters can't get worse, right? Like, other than losing a weapon, like, the next worst thing that can happen is a negligent discharge. And our command was hyping on that, too. They're like, NDs. Do not have an ND out there because you're tired. Do not shoot into the clearing barrel when you come out of base. Like, this is not what we need right now. You do that, it's another incident report, right?
Right.
Worst thing that can happen. I switched out in the middle of this thing with one of our TCs, and he had been driving. So all our weapons are swapped up in the truck at this time. Everybody has rotated, basically, in a circle. And I'm driving. And he's sitting in the back with my rifle, and we're Macomb Sergeant H, and we're cruising along, and I bow in the back.
Oh no!
Right behind me, right in the truck, and I'm like, "You did not."
You knew exactly what it was.
I knew what it was, but I was like, "You did not." And he's like, "Stop the truck! Stop the truck! I think I just got shot in the nuts." So he comes flying out of the truck, right? And I'm like, "Oh, he didn't shoot his nuts off, man!" Like, no. So I come flying out, realize that I still have the truck and fucking drive. The truck is rolling away from someone. Fuck. Run back, jump into the truck, throw, you know what I mean? Like, throw it in a park.
Right.
And now I'm running back around to check on him. And he didn't get shot in the nut or anything like that. Like, he was good to go, but we were trying to figure out what happened, because all that we could find was an exploded magazine in the back of this truck.
Oh, shit.
First thing we have to do is report. So we get on the net and we start, radioing in. And, obviously the first sergeant commander hear about it, and the commander gets on the net, and he's like, stay where the fuck you are.
That's terrible.
We're in
that is bad.
We're
news.
In sector. Yeah,
he says stay where you are, right? That's bad.
And we're like, oh, no. Right? he's going to get his team together. And to make it worse, it was like another platoon's team too. So now we just look like totally like they hate our unit and we're the reason why. Like this is what it is. So he gets out there and he's looking at it. And what ended up happening was when he was sleeping. So I have to describe the truck a little bit. So there's Rhino mounts, and what they are is basically, in simple terms, it's a wooden box with a glow plug that is on a metal pole that extends anywhere from like 8 to 15 feet out in front of the truck. And what that's for is thermal detonated IEDs. So they'd use lasers to pick up the heat signature of an engine block as trucks are driving by, which will, you know, set off the IED or EFP, explosive form charge, whatever it is. And what that was designed to do was, instead of you taking an IED in the friggin' passenger side door, you're taking it in the engine block or up towards the front of the truck because it's sensing on this glow plug as it goes by.
Right.
So
it's pretty sophisticated stuff. And those EFPs, yeah. Like think about like this molten ball, just a molten ball ripping through your entire Humvee.
So I work in the metal fabrication industry now. Uh-huh. So now I like have an in-depth knowledge of how sure. It's freaky how they figured it out, man. It's really freaky. So it's a copper cone inside of like a 50. So think of like a 50 gallon drum. They could be bigger or smaller, right. Whatever. But so think about the diameter 50 gallon drum,
right.
And a copper disc that's inverted towards the inside. So the center of that disc is close to the bottom of the barrel.
Okay.
And there's explosives behind that. And what this does is it plays on the fact that steel melts, obviously, under extreme temperatures.
Sure.
So the explosion basically inverts this copper disc and turns it into a big molten bullet that will basically cut through an Abrams tank. There's videos. Wow. There's a video floating around somewhere of a form charge, shape charge underneath an Abrams tank at the beginning of the war that actually flipped the fucking turret off the tank.
Holy shit.
That's insane.
Went through the bottom. Insane. Yeah, it sprays the inside of the vehicle with molten metal. It creates a vacuum inside the vehicle. So as that bullet cuts completely through the vehicle.
I take back what I said about 5th century warfare.
Yeah, right?
Because that's pretty fucking...
Yeah, it'll suck you out of a hole inside of the truck bases. It'll turn your lungs inside out. Fun stuff like that. It creates a vacuum inside the area.
All right.
So that's the kind of
arm that's in front of the vehicle.
Yeah, that's to
set the blast off way ahead of you, and therefore the blast has to now come through the engine block versus come into the side of your Humvee.
Yeah, and that's depending too. Like if they had, because they were getting smart, man. They had arrays of them where the array of the EFP, one would be pointed at the driver, one would be pointed at the gunner, fun stuff like that.
Wow.
Fuck. So the system has a battery that sits in the back seat, and there's wires that run through there. And in the Army, sometimes stuff gets messed up. All the time, stuff gets messed up. And
everything's built by the lowest bidder.
Yeah, what was happening, I know it's true. What was happening was the magazine was resting on two points of this wire under the seat, cooked off the round in the magazine.
What the fuck?
And it created a chain reaction. It created a chain reaction of chaos in the truck, basically, and like rounds fell everywhere. And the commander comes out, and he's obviously like slams his Humvee door for effect. Like you stayed, he stayed angry for an hour and a half to get out there. You know it's bad, right?
Stay where you are. Like he shows up, yeah, I'm still mad.
He still had veins popping in his neck. I'm like, I don't want to be close to this right now. I'm gonna watch you guys and make sure you're okay, just in case. So he goes, you know, he's obviously like, whose weapon is it? And I'm like, mine. And he looks at me and he's like, you motherfucker. Because like at this point, I've already had some things that have gone on in the unit.
Some conversations.
We've had some conversations already. And
he's familiar with you.
He like locks on me, and I was like, but I wasn't in the back seat. And he's like, where the fuck were you? And I was like, I was driving. And he's like, why the fuck were you driving?
Even better.
Yeah. And then
were you not supposed to be driving?
No,
at all?
Fuck no. I was like, gotta take the chance, man. These guys, we were watching guys fall asleep in trucks in the desert, and the trucks start veering off for like 5 minutes. And you'd be trying to
just
get
in the open desert.
Yeah, just in the open desert. Because, we try to go in a wedge or whatever when we're driving, and then he just starts like veering off. And you're like, hey, hey, wake up. You'd have people come over the net, and it's like, burp, you know, gives you the chirp, and you're like, Roger. And they're like, Roger, what? Nobody said anything. To where he had just kind of like woken up, and he's like, oh, Roger.
No, yeah. Roger. Yeah. Wake up, Roger.
Yeah. So he gets out there and he investigates and you know, figures out that obviously it wasn't a negligent. It was just an accident. But 82nd Airborne turns it in and makes it sound like it was negligent. So now we're even like bigger, like, you know.
Right, so he could go back and say, no, these guys didn't do anything wrong. It was fine. It could have happened to anybody.
Yeah, they hated
it. But he went back and went, they fucked up.
They didn't like us.
That's all you need to know. They fucked up.
They fucked up.
Yeah, they didn't like us at this point.
You don't have to say anything, right? You just don't say anything, and people are going to assume the worst.
Right.
So flash forward, this is over with. We're kind of recovering, getting back on a normal schedule.
Wait, did you ever find the gun?
Fuck no.
So you didn't find the gun?
Yeah, no.
How long? You said a month?
About a month. About a month, yeah, solid. I mean,
of this 20 hours straight.
It was fucking brutal,
yeah. So this magazine exploding in your vehicle happens halfway through.
Like halfway through, yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Punishment, and then a month goes by total, and now you're back, getting back to normal, and that's where we're at now.
Yeah. Okay. So we're getting back. And I mean, it was bad. Like, people were hallucinating through this thing. Like, one guy's like, I woke up and saw a John Deere tractor driving next to us. he was like, and then I woke up.
And, I woke up.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
They're sleeping with their eyes open, and yeah.
I'd be having conversations with people and stuff, and kind of like halfway awake, just going through. But yeah, so we got through it. You know what I mean? You get through those things. They can only suck like that for so long, or you'll die, and it's not your problem anymore.
Right.
So we get back, and we're getting back to the thing, and we start hearing rumors that somebody in the 82nd Airborne lost an M4 with a grenade launcher and an ACOG on it.
And this is separate from...
Now it's going to go full circle.
Is this separate from you guys?
Separate from us, yeah.
So it's not like somebody's blaming your missing gun on the 82nd. Somebody in the 82nd now done fucked up.
They were trying to keep it quiet.
You think?
Apparently Sergeant Major Samuel left his on the mine roller in front of their MRAP. Yeah. And went on a major operation.
Didn't happen to a nicer guy.
Right. So, and he was hot. Like, because you could tell he was just mad at everybody because he fucked up and just got done fucking dragging us through the mud for the same type of thing. And he loses it. And they're like, you guys need to get out and help us search. And our commander and first sergeant, because they have huge balls, we're like, no, we're not.
Yeah, we're done with that.
Fuck off. Yeah. Yeah,
fuck off.
Because nice. Your own fucking weapon, right? In the meantime, Coop Doug got fucked pretty bad. Obviously, he lost rank, and I mean, there's certain things that once the battalion finds out,
you're gonna get
you're catching it. So
sometimes days on the beach are unavoidable.
So we find out this going on, and everybody's pissed. The whole unit's pissed because we're like, what the fuck is that? You know what I mean? We just got done getting drugged through the mud, and you know now he's gonna do the same thing, and nothing happens to him. Like, what's up with that? Like, it's just business as usual, I guess, right? So we start plotting because...
Wait, so they really didn't... They didn't fuck over the 82nd Airborne over there?
He's a sergeant major. What are you going to do?
I mean, I'm a pretty creative guy.
I can't imagine...
Clearly, they're plotting. So right. Something is coming.
I can't.
I just meant the 82nd. They didn't...
I can't imagine what you would do to a sergeant major to get him in trouble. They're pretty much like God when you're in there. Yeah, they're scary, man. They're like, you see that rank and asshole puckers up and you're like... Yeah.
Yeah, I lost the rifle. What of it, motherfucker?
Yeah, basically. So they lose this rifle too, man, and we're just pissed off and kind of bitter about the whole thing. And we start hearing whispers of a formation that they're holding because something else now is missing of 82nd Airborne. This is like, this is probably like a month or two later.
And this is, so there's 1,500 people. That's why there's, like, if you're wondering why there's rumors running around and you don't know, 1,500 people is still a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll hear shit, but you won't know exactly what's going on.
Until the shit hits the fan, right?
Right.
So they hold this formation, and it's an entire battalion formation. Why they're holding a formation on a fob that, like, you know, could get mortared at any point, I don't know. So it must have been important, right? So we're like, okay, something big, you know, is going on because they're holding this mass formation at the DFAC, the dining facility, to see something. We don't know.
So, yeah, it wasn't my fault.
So they get out there minus the battalion colors, which is what the formation was about. And basically
and battalion colors is their flag.
It's their flag. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, man. That's their colors.
That, like, everything
and it's
to
not,
them.
It's not in retrospect. And okay. So to clarify, this was not me that took said flag. I had nothing to do with the operation.
I may or may not know who did.
I may or may not know who did.
However,
but someone did show up with three goats.
So yeah, somebody did. Yeah. So, so they hold this formation. They're without the colors, and they basically rip into the whole formation. We're like, we will hold formation here every day, every night until we figure out who took this guide on, or it reappears, this flag. And this, and you know, I feel bad too, because this thing has huge history. Yeah, I mean, you're talking, this is something that has been in that specific unit itself, just that individual, those individual
that
colors.
That actual piece of fabric.
Yeah, for a long time, deployments, you know what I mean? It's an important thing, and I think if, from the outside looking in, kind of a low blow, but...
Okay, so from the outside looking in then, you obviously weren't involved.
Yeah.
But at the same, it's something you feel like, okay, fuck them. But at the same time, do you feel like you're like, wow, that's pretty hard. Like, that's a bridge too far.
At the time, it gave me a hard-on because it was so...
Okay.
But now I'm like, that's fucked up. Okay. So just one of those things. As you get older, stuff that was funny is not as funny anymore. This is still kind of funny, though.
But at the time, you were all for it. You were like,
fuck yeah.
Yeah.
So their colors go missing. It's the rest of the deployment. They're looking for these fucking things.
How long is the rest of the deployment?
Maybe 4 months at this point. Yeah. And they're wow. looking for this thing.
Wow.
And they are doing quarter inspections. They're doing truck inspections. They're trying to find this fucking guidon. They're going to tear this base upside down until they find it, right?
And at this point, if you're found with it,
oh, you're fucked.
You're fucked.
And who is looking? Like who specifically is the one looking for this guide on? Is it
the other 1,400 people?
Yeah.
I know. But did they? I guess what I'm getting at is like, did they assign like? No, you're not the funniest thing. Special unit.
No, you know what the funny? This is probably the funniest thing of the story, man. This is a huge, huge unit, right?
Uh-huh.
We go in the DFAC, right? And they have like missing. Like wanted posters with like a picture of the guide on, like
wait,
flying.
That's a joke, or
no, for real?
Have you seen this flag?
Yeah, like we didn't know what this was.
They're like
putting them on the fucking milk cartons.
They're like a $2,000 reward, and they listed because on the guide ons you have like all these awards that you get, like meritorious service,
the
ribbons that hang off, and they like listed them all. And it was a bunch. It was like, it was a lot, right? And they listed them all.
At some point, you're starting to feel a little guilty, but at the same time, you're like, fuck them.
No, it was beautiful at the time. It was beautiful at the time. So we end up, this is kind of where the story closed at that point for us. We never heard about the guide on again or anything like that. We came back home and kind of got back to our lives and all the stuff that comes with transitioning. But what made me think of the story was probably 6 months ago. Still anonymous in the Facebook group. Like, there was no name or anything. It was like a fake account, right? Uh-huh. To all of the guys in our unit, they post a picture of this guide on at the top of a wadi in the middle of this desert where the horizon is all flat all the way around you.
And
took a beautiful picture of this guide on flying out there.
That's so great.
Left out there. Holy so there may or may not still. Or ISIS rode into battle with a dope ass set of colors.
It wasn't like they took the picture and then brought home. You think
no? It was an old picture. You could tell. You can tell too, like the era that you were taking pictures in. You know what I mean?
No, I just meant. Do you think they took the picture and then took it down and brought it home with them, or do you think they took the picture and said fuck it?
I'm pretty sure they left it out there.
Well, if they were doing bed checks and locker searches and all that, and they didn't come up with it.
It was one of those things where like, hey, if they find it, it'll be funny, and if they don't, fuck them.
Dude, here's the thing. Like, do you think they ran their own mission just to plant this thing out there? Like, they put their little team together and were like, okay, we got to get off this base somehow. And
So what I think is that they went out to the AO on one of their missions.
Right. And they just all in on it.
Yeah, yeah. They were all in. They were. I don't really know, but they were all in on it.
They
know.
Some of the people that were not members of the 82nd Airborne.
Them and they. Yep.
Yeah. That's awesome.
People.
That's so fucking awesome.
So yeah, that's my. That's what I wanted to.
You want to know what's happening right now? It's surrounded by all these people that are looking at it, going, "It's a trap."
It's a trap.
Yeah, right. We're not going to be able to get that flag. Yep. It's a trap. It's a bomb.
Oh, we've know they're doing before. That.
It's probably right there. Yeah. There hasn't moved.
I want to know if there's any listener that's in Iraq ever.
You message us, please.
If anybody found an 82nd airborne.
I will send you a GoPro out of my own pocket to set up and do like a live feed of this fucking flag.
Absolutely.
Like, what was that? That actor that put up a flag somewhere with a live camera on it?
Oh, you know what I'm talking about?
That's what we need. We need like a...
100%. Yeah, that was... That's the stuff that I like to talk about, though. You know what I mean? Everybody's got a dope story about, you know, sniper kills in Iraq or something like that. You know,
that's a good story.
To me, it's the funny stuff, man. That's what makes the experience. It's the good, even in the bad and the darkness of the stuff that we have to deal with sometimes. You know what I mean? That humor and finding, you know, funny stuff to me is the best. That's what makes it worth it.
Well, and we want all kinds of stories. Yeah. It's gross, funny, hilarious. So that's perfect. That's
what War Stories Blank is. Were you in war? Yep. And is it a story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I mean, it's funny. We were talking about cops and firefighters. They all call their stories war stories. It's just what they're called. And,
sure.
And that's why the show's called what it is. But that I appreciate you sharing that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a good laugh.
And it's good to know the big 82nd got it rammed right up their ass.
Dude, I know you. I knew you would love it. I knew you would love it.
Because right up the guide dog.
Like, oh, for sure.
Right up the guide dog.
Yeah. Gonna like this one.
Yeah. No, that was a good one. I appreciate that.
We got him good, man.
All right on. Well, thanks for sharing. Did you guys have any follow-ups to that?
I'm just thinking about these people that are staring at the flag right now, figuring out how they're going to creep up on it.
At this moment, still looking
you know,
at it.
I'm sure they are. They thought our trucks had force fields.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
From the RPG. And you know what? The best part is, like, nobody told them different. Right. So like, they just watched an RPG bounce off RPG mitigation. Like, oh, fuck, dude. It's
he's got a shield.
It's good shield.
Some 10-year-old kid
yeah.
who saw, you know, in the night.
His name is Mustafa, by the way.
Mustafa is still looking at the flag. Bro, one day I'm fucking going to have the balls to go up and see and get it. But fuck, it's been 10 years. It's still there.
That's Iraq truth. There's always a Mustafa, and he's always a bully. That's true. Every town.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Oh, God. Well, we're going to say goodbye for this episode of War Stories. We appreciate you joining us. Tell them where they can find us, Zohan.
You can follow us on Instagram at War Stories Official or on Facebook at War Stories.
And you can also pick up the War Stories t-shirt on TeePublic. Oh,
yes, you can.
Right now, we're doing it through TeePublic. We'd like to have our own made at some point because we want to start selling them and start taking proceeds and donating them to, you know, Wounded Warrior and the Wounded Blue Foundation and stuff like that. But in the meantime, you can support the podcast by picking up a t-shirt off of TeePublic.com. We have two of them. We have the War Stories logo shirt, and then we have the Major League Door Kicker shirt available. If you want to pick up one of those, you can also support us. We're thinking about launching a sponsored, like a Patreon. If you want to be a patron, you can get the episodes early, as you know, the episodes right now are coming out every other Monday. But if you want to get them early, and we may start. So let us know if you're into that idea of sponsoring, like a Patreon subscription. You know, a couple bucks a month, maybe like $2 or $3 a month. You can get the episodes early.
Sure. And our episodes are, not to cut you off real quick, our episodes are linked on our Instagram and will be shared on our Facebook.
Correct.
And it will stay up until the following episode. So it's constantly being updated as we're putting episodes out.
And once you find us, whether you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify. I looked this up on Spotify. So you just subscribe, and then every time an episode releases, you'll get it. So as we say on War Stories, come home with your shield or on it.